Welcome to the BS Show. Are you ready to shoot the... The BS Show would like to thank their sponsors. Jack Cameron, accredited mortgage professional. Jack can show you the way home. Graco Impact Sports, providing top quality combat sport equipment tested and used by all levels of athletes. Dominate your world. Reposales.ca, specializing in vehicle and equipment recovery, liquidation, and sales. Hemmings House Pictures, the global movement media makers, helping tell your brand story to the world and accelerate the momentum of your movement. Farm Box Films, capturing stories the way you want to remember them.
Greetings, fellow humans. Welcome once again to the BS Show, Atlantic Canada's one and only combat sports podcast. I am your host, Boyd Sharp. As always, in the wings, Mr. Rick Trash Canyon Doyle. How are you this evening, Mr. Trash Canyon?
I'm doing great, nerd. Looks like summer has finally hit Atlantic Canada. Finally.
I wore shorts today, brother. My pasty legs got to see the sun.
Yeah, I've seen those legs before. It's not pretty. Skippy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Yeah, if Boyd actually didn't have feet, his legs would be stuck in the ground. They're so small. It's like watching a popsicle walk around. It's horrible.
Mike Chandler said one time that I look like a man riding an ostrich.
That's it.
It's not pretty, man. What you doing now? It's up to you, boy.
Listen, Mike Malott's got those same legs, and that boy kicks ass, so maybe it ain't all bad. Listen, Skippy, listen, I got to tell you, man, I'm not sure if you would have been more disappointed or proud of Rick yesterday. The man got invited to a sponsorship party with free food and booze, and the dude had a salad.
Wow, congratulations, and who took Rick's body?
That was I don't know how you found out about that, boy, but that was pretty tough, man. Like, that's like having an AA meeting in a bar, man. Like, you know, it was rough, but you know, got to stay focused and stay on it. But that was over at Steve Locklear's, great guy, a big fan of combat sports in Atlantic Canada, him and Ken Anthony, and they just had a bunch of folks over, professional and amateur, for boxing and MMA in primarily in Nova Scotia. And it was just a great day, and they had everybody over and treated everybody very, very well. So it was a great, enjoyable experience. But man, I'll tell you, it was rough. I kept an eye on that beer fridge at all times. But
well, I guess it didn't hurt that half the coaching staff from Titans was wandering around the place running interference for you, I guess.
Oh no, it's like going to a party with your parents. That's what it's like, you know, like. Like Martel walked in a little bit late. I was already there, and he just walked in. Of course, I'm keeping half an eye on him too. And he just peered around, and eventually he saw me. And he didn't even say hi or anything. He just yelled across the patio. He goes, "What's your weight?" You know, so I kind of snapped to attention and back to business. Right, put my head down.
It reminds me of that scene from Almost Famous, where the kid's mother yells out the window, "Make good choices."
Yeah, well, you have no choice, or you will pay for it the next day.
Oh yeah. I mean, we heard stories about that before, back in the dark days of the old Titans, where guys didn't conduct themselves appropriately in public or live up to the club standards, and senior members of the club would roast their ears mercilessly, if not worse.
Anyways, I survived.
I got to tell you, Rick, I've been doing an awful lot of thinking about our big chat with Mr. Danny Patterson last week. All that stuff he was talking about not just having goals, but having a strategy and having real measurable steps that you can take to achieve your goals. And it's given me an awful lot to think about over the past week, not just around training, but around my work life and around my long-term goals for my family. And that guy really planted a seed in my brain.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's so easy, and we don't even realize it a lot of times, but it's so easy to let negative things take over, or what you perceive as negative things, and they can creep in, and then they just multiply, and before you know it, boy, you're in a rut. So, you know, I found it a great conversation to listen to with him, and really does. I did the same thing over the span of the week. Just tried to put a new perspective and a more positive perspective on everything.
Yeah, hey, I mean, it's so easy to get lost. What does they say? You can't see the forest for the trees, and I think that's kind of what I was getting into. I'm a busy guy. I have a lot of interests. I have a lot on my plate. And sometimes you don't step back and realize all the good shit that is going on because you're focused on problem A to problem B to problem C, and there's all this good stuff going on and these good opportunities that you're probably even ignoring because you're so focused on the negative.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great conversation, and I think he does very good work.
Yeah, absolutely. I spoke to him briefly since the podcast. And he said a number of his clients and friends and training partners have tuned into the show and had very, very positive feedback for him as well. He tipped off to me that a guy that he's been doing a lot of work with, one Mr. J.P. Shortall, who's a guy I think in his early 40s, is going to be fighting on the upcoming ECC card. And Danny said, we really should have him on because he's a guy who has a very interesting and unusual story for somebody who's still an amateur fighter in his early 40s. So, I'm a big fan of technical fighting and jiu-jitsu and stuff, but this guy's touted as an old-school bar fighter turned martial artist, and that piques my interest.
Yeah, I had the opportunity actually to meet briefly with JP, and I would go along with that. A fascinating guy, and he had mentioned, actually Calculator and I were there at the time, and he had mentioned that he had watched the Cubicle of the Cage show and was very inspired by what he saw on it, which felt really nice to hear. And
That's very cool.
The reason he's climbed back in the saddle, and, you know, it's just great to see. I mean, you know, who says you're done at 40? It just doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah. You'll say that, but even though you are a bit banged up yourself today.
Yeah. The only thing that doesn't hurt right now is the pinky on my right hand.
Yeah, well, don't fall down running the hill tomorrow.
It's easier to tell you what doesn't hurt right now.
Cool. Well, I believe our second guest tonight is going to be Ray McKinnon, who started Bushido Kai Gym here in Halifax. And I know JP does a lot of his training there, so we'll perhaps be able to chat a little bit about him with Ray as well.
Yeah, so what do we have on the show for tonight anyway?
Well, I want to jump right into our first guest because he is hot off of his UFC debut, impressive TKO victory in round one versus Josh Shockley. Mr. Jason Sago, welcome back to the BS show, sir. How you doing?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Oh, fantastic, man. Thank you so, so much for letting us come along on that ride. It was fantastic for Rick and I to be able to spend a little bit of time with you. Either over on the island or at least on the phone, and then to be able to watch that unfold with Paul screaming his head off outside the cage and you just going in there and just absolutely putting on a clinic. So thank you for that.
No, thank you, guys. That's awesome. I'm glad you appreciated the fight. It was an incredible experience.
So anybody who hasn't had a chance, jump back through the archive of the BS show a couple of weeks and find our interview with Jason to find out a little bit more about his story. But Jason, I want to jump right in now with how the experience was for you. I'm sure you had preconceived notions and you were trying to focus on your fight and not get caught up in the gong show that is the UFC. But tell us a little bit about what that week was like for you guys.
The week was amazing, you know, just showing up to the Sheraton Hotel downtown Vancouver, you know, fighting for the UFC. You could just tell right away everything's on another level, just the way they have it organized right away. There's people there picking you up from the airport, like just very organized. They're bringing you guys walk you, you know, door to door, right from the hotel up to your room. They bring you right in there and just get you organized right from the start. And they even had their own separate training rooms inside the hotel. So Blue and Red Corner had their own training facility within the hotel. So you never even had to leave the hotel if you wanted to, like, go downstairs and just work some technique, hit the pads with your coach.
Absolutely fantastic. I got one question before I invite Rick to come in here. A lot of people might not know the name Bert Watson. Was Bert there, and were you able to experience who he is and what he does as well? Do you want to tell people a little bit about him?
I didn't know too much about him before, but I sure know a hell of a lot about him now. He is a character. He's like, it just, bam, like he's got this style and it's in your face and he's funny and he just makes sure the UFC is running a smooth ship. He checks your rate right away, right? As soon as you get in the hotel, doesn't matter if you're whatever, you're cutting weight or you're on weight, you're not on weight, he comes up there, checks you on the weight, gives you this whole spiel about you better make weight. He just kind of just gives you like your father telling you, you better do this or else you're going to be in big shit. So, you know, you listen to Burton. He's a good guy. He's got your back. He's watching out for your best interest.
Yeah, I've heard people say in the past that people see Dana White and the Fertitta brothers out in the media and everything, but guys wouldn't be walking to the cage in the frame of mind that they are if it wasn't for Bert in the background.
Yeah, he's definitely a motivational factor for sure. He gets you pumped up, ready to go. He wants you, you know, makes you want to go out there and put on a good show for the fans.
Cool. All part of the adventure. Rick, do you want to jump in for a minute before I ask Jason some questions about his actual fight?
Yes, actually. And I really wanted to ask about the experience, and you stole that, so I'm going to steal some of your thunder here right now. Jason, thank you so much for coming back on the show, man. You, sir, are a rock star right now. Brother, I want to tell you,
thanks a lot for having me back on. You know, it's a pleasure, you know, hanging out with you guys, you know, a bunch of cool dudes from the East Coast. So yeah, no problem. I love being on the show.
Yeah, you belong to us now. I've told you that already. You are now in Atlanta.
Yep.
And we're taking all
claimed.
The credit. But listen, man, the night of your fight, I mean, my phone was blowing up. Everybody was watching. You had tremendous support from this area, and we were all really, really proud of you. I want to know what was going through your head the moment you stepped into that cage. I mean, that it had to be a different experience being at that level compared, you know, to what you've done before. So just walk us through just briefly, like, how did it feel? Tell us the experience of it.
I guess walking in, like, yeah, I was feel a little bit nervous just because the scale of everything is so much more massive. Like, you walk out there and it's just, like, so many fans in the stands. The arena is huge. You got, like, the HD big screen going on. You see your name, and it's just like, holy shit, it's the UFC, you know? And, like, you can't even look in front of you because the camera light's so bright. You gotta, like, look away, and it's just walking in there. It's just like, oh, this is it. This is the big leagues, you know? So, you know, just going in there was just like, I was a little bit nervous for sure.
Wow. And to go to the actual fight, I mean, anybody that's watched it, it was absolutely beautiful to watch. And I remember kept thinking, you know, when Professor Abel was on and speaking with us, he said, you know, I'm a technical guy. Everything has to be technically perfect. And, Mr. Mann, you put on a clinic there. It wasn't hard to you were following his instructions right to a T. It was beautiful to watch. It was almost an art. Well, it was an art.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it was, went out there and, you know, touched gloves, and I think he threw a jab, I threw a low right leg kick, threw then a high left kick, and we just kind of closed the distance, and then I was like in and out, he threw a front kick, a cheap kick, and I caught it, and then we went up against the cage, and I got my hands locked together, and he was a bit taller than me. He was actually pretty big for a 155, or he was 6'1", and I was able to get my hands connected, and I had a nice hip toss, and I think Matt McGrath's probably thrown me a lot more than anybody else with that same throw, so I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of that throw as well. So just all the training kind of came through. It came together in the fight, and you could see that, you know, I put the time in. I was ready to work hard, and I wanted it. I wanted the finish, and that's what I'm going to go and do every fight. I'm going to go in there and try to finish the fight.
That's awesome. And before you go back to Boyd, was there any point, I mean, you looked like you were absolutely dominating that fight right from the beginning to the end. Was there at any point, you know, something that surprised you?
Sorry, you cut out for 1 second. Can you repeat that?
Just before you go back to Boyd, you looked in complete control and dominating that fight at all times. Was there anything that happened during the fight that might have caught you a bit off guard or surprised you?
You know what? I was actually surprised by his butterfly guard. He had great dexterity in his legs, and he was able to get his butterfly guard in, and he was able to use that to kind of off-balance my base. And that actually threw me off a little bit. I mean, he had good jiu-jitsu himself, like good defensive jiu-jitsu, and it was throwing me off, like, a little bit. So that's the only thing that really that caught me off guard was that he was good on the ground, you know. And he was, like, Joe, if you heard the commentary, you could hear Joe Rogan complimenting him, and that's because he did have good jiu-jitsu, and it was throwing me off a little bit, and I just stayed persistent in my attack and eventually broke through his guard.
Great.
Yeah,
two technique pieces
I wanted to throw in there before Skippy jumps in, because I know our producer is anxious to speak to you as well. But the way that you held his foot, put a hand on the knee, and used that to sort of bump his leg forward and pass the open guard is something that Peter drilled with me a ton when I was doing a lot of training. And I never really got it down, and I never really saw that used in MMA before. I mean, you see it in jiu-jitsu where you get to grab the guy's pant leg. But you did that two or three times, and it was just so smooth, and you were able to fall down into side, or I think maybe he got you in half as you went down. But it was super, super slick to see that.
Thanks. It was like, are you referring to like almost like a leg drag almost?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it was a leg drag. And the good thing about when you always have the guy's feet, like if you're controlling them with their hands, it's very difficult for your opponent to get up. So if you're controlling the feet, it's hard for them to kind of get their upper body up off the ground. So it's a good control point, even just to keep in the fight for him on the floor and keep you standing. And then eventually I use that to leg drag and pass the guard.
There's your technique tip for the night, folks. Find the Jason Trago fight and see how he did that, because an awful lot of guys are getting off their back, and you could be keeping them there if you just work that technique. Jump in, Skip.
Hey, Jason, I'm curious, you know, going to the big show like this, you hear so many fighters talk about that big-time adrenaline dump being on that stage versus a regional promotion. Did you experience that?
No, you know, it's kind of like even getting in the cage, getting in the octagon, I was still treating it in my mind. It was just like another fight. You know, you're going to go in there. It's still the same thing. It's just on a bigger scale. I'm still going to be doing striking. I'm still going to be doing wrestling. I'm still going to be doing jiu-jitsu. It's the same thing, but just on a higher level, right? So you kind of just got to remind yourself that and just do all the normal things that you would do in every fight. Just make sure you're focusing on your breathing. You're not, you know, tense when you should be loose. You know, you got to make sure that you're doing everything you would normally do, and that way you won't gas yourself out and have an adrenaline dump.
So here's the question connected to that. Do you think that the work that you've done in yoga and traveling to India and working on meditation and things like that, did that play a role, or was it really fight training and working with Paul?
100%, that's all about having a calm state of mind. That's primarily what yoga teaches you, just to be in the present moment, like not thinking into the future or, you know, but what if he does this and you get hurt and knocks me down, or just being in the present moment and seeing what's happening right in front of you and then going from there, you know, like creating opportunities. So it helps you when you're doing your yoga practice just to be in that present moment and not think of it too far into the future and then having anxiety about that. It helps you stay focused, be calm, be present, focus on your breath, and just relax and be in that moment.
That's fantastic. I mean, you get the name, you're earning the name the Zen Master for sure with an attitude like that. Where did that name come from, by the way?
Oh, it was just something we were messing around with, I guess, at the club one day. It's like, oh, you don't have a nickname. Well, because then, you know, he does yoga. I've been to India and all that and did the yoga certification program and all that. So I think the Zen Master, I'm just like calm, laid-back kind of dude. So I guess I'm just pretty chill. So the Zen Master came into play.
The very first time we started researching you when we were going to have you on the show several weeks ago, it was one thing that I said to Rick was I saw some of your Muay Thai fights. and I think maybe one of your regional fights was online. And I said, the guy just looks so calm. He just looks so completely at peace when he's in the cage. And I remember I made the comment to you last time about how you're just smiling all the damn time. You just look like you're having the greatest time of your life, no matter what's going on. So I saw the exact same demeanor when you were fighting in the UFC, and I saw the absolutely massive grin you had on your face in the cage afterwards. So tell us a little bit about what that was like. Like when the referee pats you on the back and you know it's over, what was sort of the aftermath of this experience like?
I just kind of threw my arms up in complete bliss. You know, I was just like, holy crap, I just won my first fight in the UFC. I can't believe it. First round, TKO, I finished. And it was just, and I wasn't even injured. You know, I came out of that fight with no injury. So it was just like really the perfect UFC debut. And I just remember, throwing up my arms and it's just like in disbelief and just looking up. And so I had some friends there and they were screaming Sago. And it was just like, oh man, I can't believe this. It's just a dream come true.
Jason Rick here. Can you tell us perhaps what does the future hold for you now? Did you get any indication from those folks or made any future plans? Where do we go from here?
Well, I got the 4-fight contract with the UFC, so I'm just looking to set up my next fight with them, and we're thinking, my manager and I and my coach, Paulie, we were talking about either trying to get it going in Halifax, right? Halifax, October 4th, and there's also another card going on late September in Toronto, so I'd be happy to fight on either of those two dates. There's UFC Fight Night in Halifax or a big UFC event in Toronto, and I'd be happy to fight on either one of those.
Awesome, brother.
That's fantastic, man. Absolutely fantastic.
Thanks.
Well, we really want to give you a couple of minutes now to give a few shout-outs to all the people that have helped you along this road and give those guys some of the accolades and the thanks that they deserve. So jump right in there and thank your guys.
Great. For sure. Thanks a lot, I guess, to my lovely girlfriend, Rachel. She's a big part of training, just helping with my diet and nutrition and make sure the ship is running smoothly. And obviously my head coach, Paul Abel, or Wolfram MMA. My other coaches there, Chris Prickett was there. Jay Figliano, Krumel helped me back in Toronto, Lana Muay Thai. And just all my sponsors, too. There's quite a few to mention. So the local sponsors and also ones in Ontario, you can just check out my website, www.jasonsago.com, and just follow me on Twitter at Jason Sago and Instagram as well, and I'll post up all that information on there.
And, Jason, there was a big wedding over in PEI this weekend, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
I was just about to say that.
Morgan Rhimes, Morgan Rhimes.
Pass on our best wishes to Morgan and his new bride.
For sure. That was the fun wedding to go to. That was a real East Coast wedding. There's lots of laughs and good times.
Awesome.
Awesome. Tell Morgan we can't wait for his next fight announcement so we can get him on the show.
Yeah, for sure. I'll let him know.
Awesome, Jason. Thanks so much for joining us. And the moment you get your confirmation on your next piece of MMA news, by all means, give us a call.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, sir. Big hi to Professor Abel and Matt.
Okay, sure. I'll let him know.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That was
awesome.
That was great, Rick.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Fantastic.
We had a rock star on the show tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time that we've only been doing this for a few short weeks, really, but we've really now been able to follow somebody from regional promotion to getting attention on the big screen to getting their first UFC win and moving their career in the pinnacle of the sport. I mean, it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, Skip, you saw the fight, eh? What were your thoughts?
Oh, I thought he looked good, and I think after especially hearing him talk a little bit about the fight, I guess the mental state of his game during that fight, it makes me feel a lot more comfortable about him facing maybe, you know, like a 7, 8, 9 guy in his weight class at that level. You know, because to me, that's the big difference. I know you guys talked about at the beginning of the show is, you know, you notice those guys 1 through 5, mentally their games are almost solid. You know, we talk about quarterback IQ. I don't know why people don't talk about fighter IQ. And he sounds like somebody who has that mental, that fighter IQ, I guess you could call it, to where he's able to not only inside and outside the cage, but during the fight, use that as a tool to help him win. And I like that, hearing that from him. That gives me a lot of hope for him to make that run at the, you know, the 6 through 10 to get his next, you know, maybe 2 fights out.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%, Skippy. I totally see the same thing. I mean, you can't come any more focused or mentally ready to fight than Jason Sago. It's just not possible. The guy's in the perfect state of mind to compete. And then you throw in the training internationally that he's had, and then his mentorship with Paul Abel. And, I mean, he's as good as we got on the East Coast to go all the way right now.
Yeah. And
paved the way for some of these other guys.
Yeah, we've got others coming for sure. It's great. Well, sir, what's next?
Do we have Ray on the line
now? He is ready.
Cool. I've been waiting to have this guy on the podcast for quite a while. I was just hoping for an angle to get him on the show, and he is an originator of mixing martial arts. Quite unlike I even realized. He runs a gym in Halifax, Nova Scotia called Bushido Kai. And at one point, I think he ran many, many gyms in the province of Nova Scotia. And we'll find out a little bit about that in a little bit, I'm sure. But Rick, if I'm not mistaken, they teach 11 or 12 different martial arts in their traditional form at Bushido Kai. So I would like to welcome Mr. Ray McKinnon to the BS Show. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
No, thank you guys for having me on. I just want to say I appreciate it. And you guys, I think what you're doing is phenomenal. And I think you guys are uniting, like, the Maritimes MMA. Like, you guys are sort of the ones that are uniting everybody. You could tell just by your show. I think it's, we commend you.
That's huge praise from you, Ray. I really appreciate that. And let's hope it's not just MMA. It's all combat sports and traditional martial arts.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
Rick, I'm going to invite you to jump in and kick things off with Ray, because I know you actually had the good fortune of stopping by and spending an hour or so with those guys when they were training a couple of weeks ago, right?
I sure did, and I mentioned this last week on the show that I had been into Bushido Kai, which is located on the corner of Oxford and Bayers Road in Halifax, if anybody is familiar. And I had the wonderful opportunity to go in and talk to Ray. And Ray, I got to ask you right off the bat, what is your title? Because forgive me, but I didn't ask. And I know
honestly,
you're pretty laid back.
I prefer
Ray,
just to go by Ray, simply because I feel that there's too much abuse in titles, like people, especially in people in North America, have abused that title situation way too much. However, it depends on the art that I'm teaching. There's sensei, sifu, guru, and crew. So there's depending on what style I'm happen to be teaching. However, I say it's when I call an order of pizza, it's for Ray. So that's pretty much what I like to go by. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, to jump right into this, and Ray, I got to apologize, first of all, because we did shoot a video when we were at your location, just a brief one, and I passed that over to the calculator, and the guy might be able to count numbers as fast as a calculator can, but he's completely impotent with the computer.
Oh,
so
it's not a problem.
Files get caught, but at some point we will be able to get that posted.
You're welcome to come back anytime, no question.
And I just want to tell people quickly about your gym. I mean, you took me for a walk around, and it was fascinating. It was so much different than any other gym I had been in at this point, because of all the different martial arts that go on in your gym, and there's just so many of them, and all of the special guests and training seminars that you've had over the years, it was just wonderful to see all that on the walls. But I want to back this up before, you know, to ask you this. Ray, can you tell everybody, because after I walked out of there, I said, okay, this guy is the historian of combat sports in Atlantic Canada. If you want to know the history and who came from where and who trained where, this is the guy that knows all this. So, Ray, can you just back up and tell the folks basically your background and where you come from?
Okay, I'll try to be quick. I started training in 1975 when I was 6 years old. And, again, it wasn't like I was born in, like, the Shaolin Temple or anything. I just got enrolled in a martial arts class, a Japanese jiu-jitsu class, and in 1975. And in 1985, I got my black belt in Japanese jiu-jitsu, Yoshinryu. It's a classical style. In 1983, I started kickboxing with a local fella here named Paul Talbot. And actually kickboxed with him and Ralph Hollett and all their friends and stuff. That's a whole other story. And so basically I did kickboxing and the Japanese jiu-jitsu. And in 1993, I got involved with the Filipino martial arts and Junfang Kung Fu / Jeet Kune Do and Muay Thai. And then in 1994... I got involved with shoe wrestling, submission wrestling. So, and then that's just kind of what I did. And I got certified in all of those, and I teach all of those. But that's just kind of what I did. I've always done martial arts. And but I like to do, like, I enjoy all martial arts. It's not just one. Like, I do have a base in one system. And once I felt comfortable with that, I went to kind of expand my knowledge in other arts and then incorporate those techniques. As you know, not every martial art has everything in it. You know, they all have pluses and they all have minuses.
Yeah, and you have pretty much dedicated your life to learning these martial arts. Over the years, did you travel around a lot, or did you have the advantage of meeting people here with the skills?
I originally started training here in Nova Scotia. I mean, I've always lived here. I lived in PEI for 2 years where I was an instructor at Holland College Police Academy. That was back in the 90s. That was, I think, 92. But pretty much I lived here. But I have traveled. I've, you know, been to Montreal and Toronto training. And I actually had the chance back in 97. I was I represented jiu-jitsu for Canada over in Poland at their Olympic Training Center for judo. And we were over there for 2 weeks. And they had a big, must have been 1,000 people on the mats. And they had judo and some jiu-jitsu, and we were over there for 2 weeks. So that was an experience, of course. And so, yeah, and I trained. I traveled to California, and I went down there to train for a couple weeks and got to train with a ton of people down there. I mean, Boss Rutan, Eddie Bravo, Carl Parisian. I actually got to grapple Carl Parisian a couple times, and obviously he beat me. Gokor, Judo Jean LaBelle, all those guys. So, I mean, I called it my midlife crisis training tour. But nice. The main reason, that's what I call it. It's like, okay, I'm in my 40s. If I don't train with certain guys that I've always wanted to train with, I'm not going to have the chance. So, I mean, I train with some other fellas, Stephen Hayes. He's a ninja guy. And, of course, Guru Danon Asano, who's Bruce Lee's protege. So there, that's kind of that.
Wow. And then before I hand you over to Boyd, you started your first gym like 29 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I started when I was 16, but, you know, to be honest, like, I didn't have a lot of experience, obviously, because I was only 16 years old, but as you know, most 16-year-old kids think they know it all, so I just started teaching. Actually, it was in Lower Sackville at a local dance studio, and then I taught for a few years, and then I ended up moving to PEI, and then when I come back from PEI in 93, I think it was, I established, a more bigger school. And then basically from then on, it's grown quite big, I guess, quite large as far as what we teach and what we do. So really, we've been around since 85.
And Ray, at one point, you actually had several locations for your schools, did you not?
Yeah, you know, we did. I taught in different spots. I mean, throughout Halifax, and a good friend of mine, Kevin from Clinch, Kevin Thibodeau, he's a guy that he used to teach karate down in Yarmouth. And I had a school down there, and actually it was Kevin that allowed me to use his space to teach. We had jiu-jitsu there, but we were also promoting submission grappling because we were kind of the first ones to promote submission grappling throughout the province. And so we had a club down there, and we were also in Sydney. Actually, we're still in Sydney. And actually, Ken Peters started there. He was there for about 4 years. So guy, he's just phenomenal now for what he does to promote Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. There's no question. So, yeah, we had a few spots around Halifax, but then basically I just stopped it all and just to focus on my one school here in town.
Ray, I just want... Sorry, are you...
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead,
Rick.
Okay, I do have another question, but you go ahead.
Okay, well, I was actually going to jump in and just mention that one thing that Ray made very clear to me when I was there... they are not considered an MMA gym.
No, that's right. Yeah, we were basically a traditional school. We taught sort of traditional / classical martial arts. However, we also have kickboxing, and we do have Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and submission grappling. At one point, we had some guys that wanted to train MMA, and I said to them, one guy, actually, Joe McDougall, he still trains with us. I said, you know what? We could show you stuff, but that's not really our specialty, so you want to go see John Foster in Abaya. And so that's what he did. He ended up, and he still fights for those guys. And so, yeah. But lately, I have a few other instructors that teach in my club are like, come on, Ray, let's get some of these guys in fights. So we've actually been doing pretty good. I think we're 5-0 right now for MMA / kickboxing fights. And so we do have a few fighters that have been fighting, but there are definitely more qualified MMA-type schools in the city, like Titans and Fit Plus. They definitely have more experience than us as far as training MMA fighters.
But you know what's so awesome about that is, as you told me, that if, and I asked you, I said, if anybody comes in through the door here, what do you want them to feel? What do you want them to think about your gym? And the way you came back to me with this is you go, I want people in this gym that appreciate martial arts, every type of martial arts. They may be a kickboxer and they don't do jiu-jitsu, but you try to encourage them to do jiu-jitsu, and even if they don't, then they certainly have to respect it. And
we have a number of classes 7 days a week, and but not everybody trains in everything. Like, for instance, tonight, you know, I taught Filipino martial arts, and then they had submission grappling right after. You know, in the Filipino arts class, it was a small night. We only had, you know, 4 or 5 people, and submission grappling was like 30-something people there. And that's cool because, you know, the main thing is, and I definitely enforce this, you don't have to train in other styles, but you at least got to appreciate them. Hey, you know, I like kickboxing, but I just don't have the time to train in it, so I'll stick with, you know, judo or Celtic stick fighting or jiu-jitsu. But if you're going to put down another style, I'm going to throw you out. I don't care if you're my senior black belt. You're gone. Like, you know what I mean? So doesn't matter. You got to just at least appreciate
it. I've got to bring Skippy in, our producer,
sure,
on this conversation, because he's chomping at the bit to talk to you right now. So go ahead, Skip. Fire away.
Hey, I, first of all, much respect to you, you know, what you've done, your pedigree. You've touched on the Filipino martial arts a little bit a couple of times tonight. Something I have a passion for, especially when you get into that region with the Thai fighting. And I'm curious, you mentioned the class tonight was a little smaller than the grappling class, but how much fun as an instructor or coach or sensei, whatever you don't want to call the title for that class, how much fun is it to do that style, even though the class isn't huge?
Oh, I mean, as you know, the Filipino martial arts is, I mean, it has, you know, 12 to 13 different areas of combat. I mean, they have Dumag, which is Filipino grappling. It's a whole grappling system. Sikaran is a whole Filipino kicking system. So when you can do whatever you want, punching, kicking, grappling, with weapons, you know, sticks, knives, shields, whips, you name it, it's just so enjoyable. And a lot of our grapplers, the guy that teaches our Filipino arts class, Vince, he's one of the highest guys in Canada for Filipino arts, one of them. And right now he's doing full contact stick fighting with them. So if you ever heard of the dog, I'm sure, Skippy, you've heard of the Dog Brothers?
Yes.
Down in the States? Yeah, well, it's not as hard as contact as they go, but you're wearing headgear and gloves, and that's it. And you basically take a rattan stick and smash your partner with it. It'll teach you what works and what doesn't work. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things. That's the thing with martial arts. There's a lot of things that are taught that are totally not practical, and they don't really work, and instructors try to make you believe, like, all this magical stuff will work when they don't. However, there may be a time and a place for that. Like I was telling Rick, when I was a kid, you know, I could do flying sidekicks over the hood of cars. I could never do that now, but I can grapple better now than I never knew any grappling when I was a kid. So,
with your passion, you know, for the singleized sports, I'm curious, have you seen in Canada an influx or a decrease due to martial arts in the singleized training?
No, currently, I guess I can only speak for Nova Scotia and for the Halifax area. There are more people training currently in taekwondo, judo, karate than most martial arts, like MMA / Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's just the way it is. I mean, and it's not a negative comment because obviously Brazilian jiu-jitsu is phenomenal, and it's especially phenomenal for children. However, it's just the traditional arts are still there. People still want to train them. And some people are nervous of, like, MMA, like people who maybe are not quite educated enough. Because, I mean, you could have a kid's MMA program. I mean, I would never get them to fight. I don't believe in kids fighting. But, I mean, a good instructor could actually teach a kid's class in MMA. And, sorry, I get off topic here. I ramble on. But basically, there's enough arts out there for everybody, and there's enough people for all of them. And another thing that can happen is if you have too many people training in, like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I'll use that as an example, now that it's come to Nova Scotia. When I first got here, it was, like, sacred. Like, there was only a few guys that trained in it, obviously, like Peter Martel and Kevin Taylor and maybe a few other guys. And it was kind of like, oh, my God, there are only a few. But now there's a lot, which is phenomenal. But the more it grows and the more people train, the more you're going to find that the instruction gets lacking, and then almost you start to lose things of that particular style, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. I think you're in a unique position, Ray, and it's fantastic that we're able to pick your brain about this stuff because, like you alluded to earlier, there are the MMA schools or the fight schools, and those are typically Muay Thai and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu based. And, of course, at Titans, there's a heavy boxing as well. But for the most part, you're not going to see Filipino martial arts or stick fighting or something like that in one of those gyms. But you're doing something a little different. You're giving people exposure to many different martial arts, and they're able to take as many of those classes as they want in all the different styles. So they're going to pull things together, as you said, that work. When somebody's coming at you with a stick and they're able to hit
exactly,
you.
Exactly, and that's the thing.
If
you enjoy grappling and you enjoy Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, why would you not train wrestling, sambo, Filipino dumag, panantukan, all these other different shoot wrestling, shoot fighting, all these different other grappling arts, and take those techniques, and that'll actually make you better, but also you'll be doing things that the other guy's not familiar with. Like, I have no idea of this X-guard, worm guard. I mean, I do study them. I watch a lot of videos online, but I don't train it. So when I grapple, I tend to do, I call them old man techniques. They're older things. Sometimes they work for me. Sometimes they don't. But the thing is, it's like the person's like, oh, I'm not used to, usually the other guy attacks this way. It's like, no, I'm going to attack my own way, so which may benefit me. However, you know, with this newer stuff, it's like, oh, I never seen that before.
I think one thing that's going to lead to, especially if you do, if your school does go in the direction of training a few more fighters and a few more guys that you have there training various martial arts, want to actually compete in MMA, it may actually be a new look. We have a local gym here in Halifax that's only been open about a year, 374 MMA. And they're run by a guy named Rad. And he has a unique style. And we're seeing that in the way that his guys fight. So it's going to be very interesting to see if you get more and more guys
fantastic.
Coming out of Shotokai, if there's a unique style.
Because I have firsthand experience.
I have firsthand experience. I fought one of your students.
Andrew's a good guy.
Yeah, I fought Andrew Quigley, and I mean, obviously, very, very passionate and technical Muay Thai fighter. He managed to just about separate my leg from my body in the first 10 seconds of that fight.
Yeah, but
and then when we went to the ground, he managed to break my arm as well. So obviously he's been training everywhere over there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the guys who are training at your school.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we have our main guy for teaching is Gerald Saunders. He runs his own school here in Halifax too, but he's been with me for over 20 years. He's our main coach for the MMA-type field. Now, we have other instructors at our club, Steve Greencorn and Courtney Pratt, and there's a whole bunch of other people that the students train in the different styles, but now they have all phenomenal instructors teaching them. But when it's time to put it all together, we try to come collectively as a group to say, hey, okay, if you want to fight, let's all put our brains together and figure out how we can get you the best training. And if we can't offer it, I have no problem saying, I can't offer you that. You should probably go talk to, you know, Peter or Scott or John down in Abaya, because maybe they could help you out if that's your goal to eventually fight in the big league. But we'll do what we can to get you there. So,
yeah, I think that's the trick to success when it comes to that, because I think what people are looking for is that gym that they feel comfortable in, that environment that they want, that family and that group of people they want to be around. And then it's up to the instructors or the coaches to say, okay, I can do this for you. I can take you this far, but you should really go here and experience it if you want this other aspect.
Which goes back to why an instructor should always be trying to develop themselves, because, you know, I mean, after a while, it's like, oh, my students know 10 times more than me. What am I doing now? So it's up to the instructor to always continue learning. It doesn't have to be physical. Maybe you're studying history or maybe you're learning about different arts. I mean, you know, I used to run the grappling program for years, and now other guys run it, and they have 10 times more knowledge than me in grappling. It's like, and that's what I enjoy. It's like, man, those guys, they're doing so good.
Yeah. Ray, before, I know we could talk for hours, literally, and I'll tell you one thing that I encourage you to do with your vast knowledge and history of traditional and combat sports in Atlantic Canada is I fully encourage you to start writing a blog. I know you're a busy guy, but if you were to do something like that, we would certainly link that to our Facebook, because you have a unique perspective of being around in this for the last 29, 30 years, and you know how everything started here, the grassroots, and how it's grown. And remember one thing you mentioned to me, you said you consider Peter Martel the pioneer of MMA in Atlantic Canada.
Oh, I consider him the father of MMA, there's no question.
Father of,
I mean,
yeah.
There's no question he's been, you know, it's funny because back in the early 90s, there used to be another fella, I'll quickly talk about this, he tried to hold an MMA, it was actually a shoot fighting event. He was under a guy named Bart Vail, a shoot fighting guy. And then the Boxing Commission shut it down, and that was it. We thought we'd never hear about it again. And then, of course, Peter started it up, and, I mean, look at what he goes through to hold events, right? So there's no question in the history books he should be known as the father of MMA.
Yeah, you know, I fully encourage you to start putting your thoughts down, because I know that a lot of people that are interested in combat and traditional martial arts would be interested in some of this history that you've got locked in your head. So I think it'd be great if some of these stories got out and some of this.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway.
The history of submission grappling is rich in the province from the early 90s, you know, so...
Skip, this guy might even be able to offer something to you folks there as well.
Well, you know, Rick, you touched on it, and I'd like to give you the offer. If you ever choose to do a blog or a vlog, or you just want to write something, I'll give you a whole spot on our website strictly dedicated to your writing or your opinion pieces. You know, that's something we would love to share with our fans worldwide. So if you ever...
Yeah, I would love to do that.
Let
the only
me know.
Thing is I have to get spell check. And I know there's a lot of my instructors, staff that teach at my club that are probably laughing right now. But, yeah, spell check. I need it.
So anyways... Sorry, go ahead, Skip.
I was going to say, I understand that we've lost Boyd. We're going to try to get him back on the show. So, Rick, you're going to kind of fly with it for right now. But, you know, definitely, you know, I've got your number. You know, if it's something you're interested down the road, I'd be more than happy to give you a spot on the website.
Sure. I appreciate your time.
No one really cares about Boyd on the show anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Hey, well, since we've got a quick second, look, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, your passion for the single-eye sports. Through all the different martial arts, the trainings, the traveling, is there one that maybe holds a spot in your heart for just no other reason than you enjoy it, truly enjoy that form?
I would say Jin Fan Gung Fu, which is, well, Jeet Kune Do people know it by, but really the real art is Jin Fan Gung Fu, which was, of course, developed by Bruce Lee. And I would have to say that right now because, I mean, everybody in martial arts, most people, especially us older guys, love Bruce Lee. And to train under one of his top students and is phenomenal. My instructor, he's in New Brunswick, Rob Doley, he's in New Brunswick, and he's under Dan Inosanto. We both trained under him. But just to have that history, that Bruce Lee to Dan Inosanto to my instructor to me, like the lineage is just phenomenal. So I guess that means a lot to me. And actually in September I'm going to train under a guy, he's 90 years old, his name's Taki Kimura. He's the most senior guy in the entire world, and he doesn't teach, but he's going to be teaching this one time for Bruce Lee's martial art. Like, he's the top guy. So it's going to be a dream come true. Even though he's 90, but it's just going to be amazing.
Oh, wow. That is
And you've fought
crazy.
A lot of people into your gym over the years. I noticed Hoist has been there on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, we've had Hoist Gracie here a couple times. Yeah, and he's taught a few seminars here. Jean-Yves Thériault, he's former 23-time world kickboxing champion. He's a good friend of ours. He's been to our club many times. Emily Kwok, she's a world champion in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But also local guys, too. I mean, even guys from New Brunswick. Sam Johnson, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy from New Brunswick, he's taught at our club. And, you know, Kevin Taylor's taught at our club. I mean, he was a huge help for our Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu program at that time period. So, I mean, yeah, a
well,
lot of
guys. Well, that's great. And if there's anything, like if you're having any seminars in the future, please don't hesitate to call us and we will promote it because I know folks from a lot of different gyms might like to come there and experience, you know, whoever you're bringing into town. So before we let you go, Ray, we'll just give you a couple of minutes here. You can tell folks about your gym or what you're located or any supporters or the floor is yours. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I guess if the floor is mine, I just have to say if it wasn't for the instructors that are teaching at my club now, there definitely would be no club. There's too many of them to name, but Vince, Steve, Nick, Courtney, Jesse, Mark, Ben, Jeremy, Brent, Tim Bell, Kettlebells, I mean, and I know I'm forgetting people, Gerald Sanders, Tammy, there's so many people that teach at my club, and because I'm only there, really, I'm sort of semi-retired now, I'm only there once a week, maybe. If it wasn't for them, there would definitely be no club. I'd be teaching like once a week out of a church hall. So I do owe everything to them. And Jack Cameron, too. Can't forget Jack. So, and I know I did forget some people. I'm sorry. So my shout-out is to those guys for doing what they do because, you know, I love them all.
No problem. And I'm sure you welcome anybody to come in and just look around and chat and talk to you anytime, eh?
Yeah, everybody's welcome. You just have to have an open mind. That's all, and just be ready to train.
That's great. And before we let you go, Ray, sorry, you do have a couple of fighters. We will be profiling fighters over the next couple of weeks. Who do we look for coming out of Bushido Kai?
JP Shortall. He's had a few fights already. He's fighting on this card. Anthony. I'm going to pronounce his last name wrong, but Melski. It'll be his first fight. So we have two guys, and they're just super, super nice guys, and they just want to get in there and, you know, challenge themselves, right? So, and they're all trained by Gerald Sanders, so.
I'm sure we'll be talking to him soon. So thank you very much for your time, Ray.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Great, right, truly an honor. Thank you, brother.
No, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Well.
Rick, I got to tell you, you mentioning doing a blog, I just lit up. Carl was listening to the show. We both lit up like kids at Christmas. If we could get Ray, even if it's like once every 6 weeks or whatever, for him to do something to – because, I mean, he's got all this knowledge and history that, you know, us, we push all forms of combat sports. We're not picky. We love it all. And, I mean, wow, to be able to tap into that vast knowledge, my fans would just be in awe.
Well, yeah, and first of all, I mean, I'm loving this fact that you and I are actually having an intelligent conversation. I don't have to put up with Boyd rambling in my ear. But when Boyd and I started with this idea, or it was actually Boyd's idea, I don't give him credit for it, we wanted to give something back for, you know, because we felt that we had gotten so much out of our experience with this. And when we started looking around, we said, wow, there is so much talent here that people don't realize. Like, it's not being talked about. And world class, you know, in various traditional and mixed martial arts and everything. And we said, we got to start telling these stories. We've got to expose these people. They deserve it. Or we felt they did anyway. So, you know, we get guys like Ray on there, and he starts telling the stories. It just opens your eyes. Like, he's been around so long and done so much and seen so much. And tell us those stories, you know.
You know, it's so great about your show, and honestly, all the shows on the Madhouse Production Radio Network. But you guys just recently, a couple weeks ago, had a young, I believe, judo. She was in judo, I believe, that young girl that you guys had on the show a few weeks ago, all, you know, at what, like 12, 15 years old, you know, somewhere in that range, all the way to this gentleman, Ray. I mean, we're seeing the future, and we're seeing somebody who's helped develop the future from the past, and I love it. Once again, I told you tonight I would be a big fan of tonight's show, and, you know, I definitely jumped on the show more than normal, but just because Ray is definitely, I could pick this guy's brain and talk with him all day long. He's such an interesting individual.
Cool, man. Cool. Well, the points for Boyd, I guess he's tracking these folks down, so it's pretty interesting stuff. So before we wrap this up, and it, like I say, it's awesome because we don't have Boyd here cutting in all the time. He's not back on, is he?
No, actually, he's not. I just got a message that said his Sprint PCS cell phone ran out of minutes.
That's awesome. So I can just spend like the next 4 minutes here, like just bashing him relentlessly. That would be awesome. But what I do want to talk about is what we've got coming up on the next few shows. I don't know how many shows we have left before ECC 21. But I think it's 3. So what our goal is to actually, we want to get the card confirmed from Peter Martel. And we know Gavin Tucker is the matchmaker for this. We'd like to get those folks, or at least Gavin, on. Tell us what the matches are, what the cards are, what people can expect. And then what our goal is we'd like to get every fighter that's on that card a little shot to come on and talk a little bit about themselves and about their fight, and just to give them a little bit of exposure, and so the fans will get to know who they are as well, and most importantly, give a shout out to their sponsors, because we just couldn't do any of this, we know that, without the sponsors. So that's what our goal is. We also really interested in getting Ken Wood back on. For anybody that's been tuning in, he was the retired referee, which was just an unbelievable interview. That was one of my favorites. Skip, yours?
That's another gentleman that I could definitely – Ken Wood is somebody we could bring on and do a whole show with, because we could talk about everything from cornering to blood work to weigh-ins to reffing to hand wrapping to, you know, I mean, so much that we can address with that gentleman too.
Yeah. Yeah. So when he left us with a little teaser. He said, I want to tell you, certain things that fighters should know, coaches should know, corner men should know before they go into the cage. So I'd really love to pick his brain for a few minutes on that. Next week on the show, right now, and I'm super stoked about this, we have Chris Kalaitis and Adrian Woolley lined up to come on the show. They'll both be on the ECC 21, and this is a huge 125 matchup in Canadian MMA right now. So we're excited about this one. I don't know if you remember Chris Kalaitis, but he did his debut in Bellator there probably about a month ago. Yeah, so this is going to be exciting to get these guys back on the show. So over the next few weeks, folks, we're going to attempt to get all these fighters in. Once the card has been finalized, we're just, you know, hopefully everybody's medicals are done and the cards are being set, the matches are being made. We want to get these guys in. You'll know who they are. They'll have a chance to talk. And then we go right into ECC 21, which is going to be July 26th. So exciting stuff.
Yeah, and normally, you know, Boyd would be here to give a shout-out. We want to thank all the great sponsors to the BS Show who have stepped up to not only support this show, but all of the support they show, the local MMA scene in Atlantic Canada. Boyd, obviously, you know, he didn't join to finish the show with us, folks. He will be back next weekend. I want to give you and Boyd both a shout-out, man. Your guys' show is killing it. For real, I mean, like, even last night on the show out of Southern California, out of L.A. that we have, one of the guys who called in to talk on the show said, you know, I was listening to the show with Danny, and it's something I'm now looking into. So your show is reaching athletes not just in Canadian Atlantic Canada, but the fighters all the way down in L.A. are listening to your show and taking to heart some of the things they're hearing. So you guys are doing great things. I mean, we get nothing but great responses and comments week in and week out from around the world for what you guys are doing. So I want to thank Boyd, and I want to thank yourself. I also want to tell you, man, you're my hero, dude. I'm glad you're in camp. I want to see you go get that victory. And, you know, you might be a little sore today, but when you hold that hand up high in victory, all that pain and gain will be worth it.
Well, I appreciate it, everything you had to say, Skip. And, you know, I don't really want to get into the fighting thing too much because I don't want to use this as a platform to try to self-promote. But thank you very much for what you said. I am putting everything I have into it, and I think that's what it's all about, win, lose, or draw. And so I will probably do next week's show, and then I will be stepping away the last couple of weeks. Just to be to be independent on this whole thing and really focus on what I have to do in the last few weeks. So I'm sure Boyd will have some special guests to help him float the boat down the river, and I'm sure you'll jump in and keep him on the straight and narrow.
Yes, and I know you don't want to get too much in the fight game, but I think Rick, you should start thanking BMW after every show for the sponsorship, and maybe they'll just give you a car for the love. You never know.
Yeah, well, thank you, BMW. Is that a good start?
That's a great start.
I will get you that. I will.
What,
so anyway, sign us out of here, Skip, and Boyd's line? That'd be awesome.
That's enough BS.
For tonight, yeah, that's good.
For tonight.
And then I always come in with my favorite song, and don't forget to wear your sunscreen.
And Trash Candy would also like to thank Trojan Condoms.
Magnum Editions.
Welcome to the
Cheers,
BS
mate.
Show. Are you ready to shoot the... The BS Show would like to thank their sponsors. Jack Cameron, accredited mortgage professional. Jack can show you the way home. Graco Impact Sports, providing top-quality combat sport equipment tested and used by all levels of athletes. Dominate your world. Reposales.ca, specializing in vehicle and equipment recovery, liquidation, and sales. Hemmings House Pictures, the global movement media makers, helping tell your brand story to the world and accelerate the momentum of your movement. Farmbox Films, capturing stories the way you want to remember them.